everybody, and welcome back to the Game of Thrones recap show here on Variety Radio Online. As always, my name is Brancy, and I am joined by my co-host Jess tonight. Jess, have you recovered from the Battle of the Bastards?
Not quite. Or as people have been calling it, the Bastard Bowl.
Yes, I've seen them
that's
both
acceptable
thrown around.
As well.
Both
yes.
are acceptable.
Excellent. Game of Thrones totally delivered. Season, what the hell season are we on? Season six?
Yes.
season six, episode nine. Yesterday night, I called Brancy at like midnight after I had seen the episode, and we were texting, and I literally texted her, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god," and then I forget what else I texted because I was typing so fast. And then she responded right back again. She's like, I know, right? And then I was like, well, screw this. I'm not going to text her. I'm just going to call her. So I called her, my midnight call to Brancy. And she picked up the phone, and she was like, oh, my God, I just can't even right now.
No, it was too much.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna go catch up on Penny Dreadful now that I've seen Game of Thrones. And she's like, well, good luck, because I just have to go lie down.
Yeah, I just couldn't. That's it. I could not do anything else after that.
And I watched it again. When we were on air, well, before we were on air, just now, she called me and she was like, "Have you recovered yet?" And I was like, "I don't know. Maybe after the fourth time, I'll recover because I'm on number three right now." It's just as satisfying, I have to say. But let's leave the good for the end. I know we all
yes.
want to talk about that right away. But there were some really good gems in this episode. And I apologize, guys. My voice is a little out of commission. I've been coughing a lot. So I'll try not to sound so glottal fry-y with my little raspy voice. So let's talk about the oh shit, mom's home and we threw a kegger moment,
oh, yes.
awkward moment between Daenerys and Tyrion, because that's the opening scene. She comes in and immediately Tyrion is kind of like trying to justify himself, which is
yes.
pretty amusing. What'd you think about that?
Oh, I loved it. Did you see the meme going around where it's like she comes back and then Grey Worm and Miss and I are like, Tyrion did it. Tyrion did it. Like, blame him automatically. Like, yeah, kind of.
Well, yeah, and it's awesome because he's like, despite appearances, you know, Marina's on the rise, and she's like, it's on the rise.
On rise where?
And he's just justifying himself and saying, you know, the commerce has returned, you know, the people are behind you. And she's just giving him the mom look the entire time. It's hysterical.
She is giving him the mom look because he definitely was a disobedient child in this one.
But he wasn't. I mean, he tried his best. She just needs to give him enough time to explain it to her. And he does. He basically says, you know, that they can't allow you to succeed because if they do, it proves that a city can survive if they don't need the masters. And it's at that moment that she finally says, okay, fine, let's go then. And he's kind of questioning her, like, well, do we have a plan? You know, kind of thing. And then she starts talking like the Mad King. I'm going to set everything on fire. And I really like how Tyrion kind of, he doesn't stand up to her in a disrespectful way, but he gives her logic and she actually listens to it, which is not really common for Daenerys. Daenerys tends to be a little headstrong
mm-hmm.
when it comes to things like that. But he tells her the story of the wildfire underneath the Red Keep. And I think that is what Maester Frankenstein, or Qyburn, I know his name now, but it's Maester Frankenstein to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he was talking to on the Cache of Wildfire.
Yeah, I think so too.
Underneath the city.
After thinking about that. And I love that scene where they were talking, when Tyrion was telling her about that. Because as soon
Right,
as
so
she
he's
started
telling.
saying that she was going to bring the dragons, and I was like, oh my God, that's so the Mad King.
Like, you're just like your father.
Exactly.
Or brother. Yeah, father. Anyway, so he's telling her that this is, this is not a good path to go down. And I love how she tries to justify it. Like, this is entirely different. And he's like, hold up, 1 second, because you're talking about burning down cities. It is not entirely different. It is
Yes.
entirely the same. So, and I love that he's like, might I offer an alternate route? And then of course, Sitta. He's so funny. I love him.
I love him too.
And then it switches to them with the, at the top of the pyramid, and they're meeting with the three masters. What did you think about that whole scene? Because I thought that was artfully crafted.
Oh, that whole thing was brilliant. And where they're like, well, that was a little bit ahead of, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I loved the part where they're asking, they're saying that like one of them has to die, and they're like, oh, it's him, it's him. They just kill both of them.
Yes. Yes, that was awesome.
I know that was a
So
little
I'm
later in the
watching.
scene, but I love that.
Yes, no, that was fantastic. I do want to talk about that. So I'm watching the scene, and I was watching Daenerys' face the whole time. And did anybody think that they were actually surrendering? Because I think the whole audience was kind of in on it, even though we didn't hear the plan. That, like, oh, they are so sorely mistaken if they think that she's the one that is going to be surrendering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thought, any of the audience thought that, but yeah. And the fact that they were like, oh, well, the dragons have to die. Bitch, you get close to that dragon, they're going to kill you.
Right, like, excuse me, I dare you. I dare you to
Yeah.
try.
Try it. That was awesome. And of course, she turns it around on them, like, oh, I'm sorry. Did we have a misunderstanding here? I'm not surrendering. No, that's you. You guys are surrendering. That's what's happening. And then, of course, Drogon shows up in a badass fashion.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then she, of course, takes off and she sets fire to some of the ships. And I was like, don't kill them all because you need the
I was
ships.
saying the same thing. I was like, is she gonna burn them or what? Because doesn't she want them? So, and then my mom was like, well, she's probably gonna burn a few to make an example out of them. And I was like, good point, Mom. Good point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So Rochelle weighed in on this. She wanted to join us. I was telling Brancy, Rochelle, who was a guest host with us a couple of weeks back, totally contacted me on Facebook today, and she was like, "Oh my God, such a great episode." And I said, well, hey, do you want to come on and chat with us? And she's like, I'd love to, but I'm moving. She's like, but I do want to make sure that, it was such a great episode and Daenerys with the dragons. And then she said, except for she's like, the only thing that I had umbrage with was the Kool-Aid man moment of the dragons breaking out, onto the other two dragons breaking onto the scene. And I had to
Right.
like stop myself for a minute, and I was like, and then I started chuckling to myself because that totally was a Kool-Aid Man moment. Like they broke out and they were like, "Oh yeah," because like that was kind of ridiculous. Like there was no other way that they could make that appearance, and I thought about it for a minute and I was like, no, there actually wasn't another way for them to make that appearance because I was telling her, I'm like, well, remember Tyrion unchained them. But he didn't let them loose. They were still underground. So the only way they were getting out is if they broke out like that. And then she was like, oh, right, I forgot about that. She's like, okay, this scene makes much more sense to me now. So, but I thought it was funny that she was like, yeah, it's the Kool-Aid Man moment. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely. But isn't this like the first time in quite a while that we've seen all three of them out together? A long time.
And you know what I thought was really cool about that is that there's a noticeable size difference between the two that have been chained up underground and Drogon. And that's because he's been free to hunt and to, exercise and do what he needs to do, and he's like growing free because he has
Right.
no
He's like
constraint.
in prime fit
Right.
condition.
Right. Which is why I wasn't surprised when, but I was pleasantly, I noticed it. I was pleasantly, I wasn't pleasantly surprised, but I was kind of, that they actually did that where they showed them smaller, because I kind of always thought of them as sort of like fish, like they're not going to grow too big to fit in their containment area.
Right.
And also, they really haven't had a chance to like feed unfettered. So it makes sense that they're smaller in stature because they couldn't find space and they haven't had the same food source availability as he has. Unless
Very
they're
true.
both, also, I don't know if they're both females. So they might
You
be
know,
smaller.
I don't know. That could be it. That could be at least a
But that's
contributing
weird.
factor.
Yeah, I mean, that could go either way because in some species of animal, the female is actually larger than the male. So I don't know. I don't know what the sexes are. I think Drogon's a boy, but.
Yeah, I think so.
But your point about the three masters and she's and you're basically saying like, look, somebody's gonna have to pay this bill. I know it's all abstract. We see other people dying, but now it's come home to roost, and you're gonna have to give somebody up. Totally gave that one him right under the bus. Like, here, take him.
And they both were like, yep, it's him. Take him. Oh, poor dude. Never had a chance.
Right, and I loved Grey Worm just dishing out like this divine retribution. Like, really, neither one of you would step up to the plate. You had to throw somebody else under the bus. Now you're both dying.
Yep. This is great.
Yeah. So that was awesome. And Tyrion just walking up to him because he's on the ground, pretty much saying, like almost at eye level, and saying, like, look, go back, tell your masters. Tell your peers about what happened here. And so if you have any thoughts about trying this again, you tell them what happened the last time Daenerys Stormborn came to Meereen with her dragons.
Yes. Oh, so epic.
Oh, and
I was
then to
so excited.
follow it through, yeah, it was awesome. I love me some dragons. And they
Oh,
did a
yes.
really good job with it, too.
CGI is always
To
well
follow
spent
that,
on the dragon.
yes, it is, and it's such. I mean, I'm watching it on a pretty big screen TV, and it still looks excellent. So, very cool, CGI. To follow that through, though, to Daenerys' storyline here is the next time we see Daenerys. She's talking, and Tyrion, he's talking with Yara and Theon.
Oh, yes.
So what did you think about that?
We talked about this before, but I don't know what kind of time machine these people are in that they are getting all these places so quickly. But I feel like they got there really fast. Like I'm looking at my map and I'm just like, how? How did you get there? Like what span of time are we looking at here? But that whole
Movie
thing was great
magic.
because she thinks that it's Theon there seeking her help, but nope. He's just there to help Yara.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what Tyrion says. He's like, so you can ask Daenerys for, your crown back. And he's like, oh no, it's not mine. Like, I'm
Yeah.
not.
I don't want it.
The pot doesn't.
I'm not. I love
No.
what he says. I'm not fit to rule.
Tyrion's like, well, I'll agree with that. Now, Tyrion mentioned in there, obviously things haven't been working out too well for you because you murdered Stark boys, and you wouldn't have done that. And Tyrion's quick to say, I'm not Tyrion, Theon's quick to say, I didn't murder the Stark boys. And I'm not sure that Tyrion knew that that actually wasn't the Stark voice.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because didn't
I didn't.
everybody still think that? Even Sansa still thought that back when she first got back to Winterfell.
Yeah, I think so. So I don't know what the deal is with that, if word has gotten around or not, but it seems like he wouldn't have mentioned that if he
If
didn't
he knew it to be
think that.
false. Yeah.
Right. Or maybe he was trying to bait him and see what he would say. I don't know. But Theon basically says, like, I'm here for Yara. Like, she is the one that needs to have the throne. And the eye sexing that was going on
Oh
between Daenerys
my
and Yara was freaking fantastic. The
God. It's
chemistry
gonna
between the two of
happen.
them. I'm
It's gonna
totally shipping
happen.
Dinyara.
Yes, it's gonna happen. The looks were
Yeah.
there. It was all there. You've heard it here first. It's gonna happen.
Well, I think people have kind of been rooting for
People
that for a
have been
while. I don't
saying
know.
that since like before the episode even. Like, because
Yeah.
they were saying that something got leaked. There was gonna be a Daenerys scene with Yara and Theon. And so people were saying, I bet that there's going to be something between those two.
That would be fantastic. But it was almost like the kindreds, you know, like they kept looking at each other and it's like, blood of my blood, you know, like moon of my stars, star of my moon. I mean, it wasn't googly eyes or anything like that, but I think they both had a mutual respect for each other's fierceness.
Yes.
And I think Tyrion was thrown aback a little bit regarding that too, because he's so used to dealing with Daenerys. Now there's two of them, you know.
Yep.
And I think he's kind of a little proud of Daenerys too for actually negotiating, because Daenerys doesn't negotiate. But it was just really funny too, saying she's, you know, she had a good point. Well, you know, do we have enough ships? And Tyrion said yes, but there's, you know, there's more ships than that in, you know, the Iron Fleet is more than 100 ships. And Theon says, yeah, there are. And our uncle Euron, who killed our father, basically is coming, and he's getting ready to offer you this fleet of ships. And her response is, well, then why don't I wait for him?
Yes.
And you know, it's the age old, it always comes with strings attached. And that's kind of what Theon was trying to get at without eloquently stating it. So Yara just came out and said, well, yeah, he wants to give you his big cock because you know, it doesn't just come free of charge. You're gonna have to pay for it, with your snatch. And then when he gets what he wants, he's gonna kill you like he killed my father. You know, he wants the Seven Kingdoms. And that's not beneficial for anybody involved. So you know, I think Daenerys at that point sees, okay, there's a benefit to me listening to her. I think she's surprised that Yara is the one that is trying to take the Iron Throne. And I also liked the fact that Yara asked her, and I think she did too, obviously she did too, but said, look, we just want our islands back. You know, you could do whatever you want with the Seven Kingdoms, but can we please have our islands back? And Tyrion's like, well, you know, what's gonna happen with if everybody starts demanding this? And I loved Daenerys' response. It's like, she's not demanding, she's asking. And you know, the others are free to ask as well. And it's interesting to see that she would even consider it, you know?
It is
And she
because
commits.
she's been so, I'm gonna take back what's mine and everything like that, but I liked that little bit.
Oh, and I loved the comment about you know, Euron is coming with, you know, he's going to be offering you marriage, and you know it comes attached with marriage, and Daenerys throws out there, "Well, I assume that this is free of any marriage requirements."
Oh,
And I
yes.
loved Yara's awesome little quip. Demanding, and you know, I'm not demanding anything, but I'm up for anything. And
Yeah.
the little eye sexing that was going on between the two of them was very nice.
Yes, that little like, hey, like I'm not
Yeah.
outwardly saying we should, but we should.
You totally should. I wonder if they will. We'll see.
We shall.
Yes, but yeah, I'm gonna coin the term Dinara.
Okay, I'm here for it.
Dinyara, or whatever it is. Dinyara. That's, I
Dinyara.
could get behind that. I think that's a good match between the
I'd be
two of
here for
them.
it. I'm cool with it for
Yep.
sure.
I'd be down for it. That'd be awesome. Anything else that happens with Daenerys? I
I
think
think
that's it
that's
for
it
her.
for the Daenerys, yeah. Does that mean it's
And
time?
so.
And so.
Wait, let me think of anything else that happened. Nope, nothing else happened. It was just Daenerys and I think it's just Daenerys and the Boltons.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what
And
the episode was.
yeah, it was dragons and bastard bowl.
Yes,
Bastard bowl. Okay, so they go to the Rideout and I noticed that Lyanna Stark, not Stark, Lyanna
Mormons.
Mormont, yes, was on the ride out to meet Ramsay Bolton. Why don't you set up the scene for us a little bit?
Oh my God, the scene killed me, Jess. The whole episode killed me. But I love that they showed her because I was wondering if they were going to. But I love that because there was only a few of them there. And Jon tells Sansa, he's like, you know, you don't have to be here. And she's like, no, I do. Which was great.
Yeah.
So proud of her.
Yeah, she does. I mean, that's the epitome of facing your fears.
Yes. Like literally facing your attacker. And she knew it. She knew that she had to do it for her, for the cause, for everything. It was great. But he still gave her that out. He was like, you know, you don't have to do this. But
Right.
I'm so proud of her that she did. But I don't think anybody suspected that it was going to end that simply. No way. Like just a
You
one-on-one
mean the
between the two.
no, that would have been epic though. So I'm just looking, I have the screen paused right now, and Ramsay has this smug little look on his prick face,
Yes.
and I just want to smash him in it.
Now, see, something funny about that. My brother does not watch the show. It's me, my dad, and my mom all watch the show together. He doesn't watch it, but it was Father's Day, so he watched this episode, and this is only the second episode he's ever seen. So we were telling him, you know, that it was the battle and what we were expecting. And he was like, well, who do we want to win? I was like, we want Jon Snow and the Starks to win. And he was like,
Right.
okay, well, who's the bad guy? And I was like, you'll see him as soon as you see his smirking face. So as soon as they cut to Ramsay, he was like, is that him? I was like, yes. That's who we want to lose. He just knew. No context of the
Yeah.
show, but as soon as they showed his face, he knew that's who we wanted to lose.
Yes. It's a little interesting tete-a-tete between the two of them, where they're both trying to like rile each other up. John's been a little weird this whole season because, you know, he just got brought back from the dead. So he's kind of just like, I don't, you know, we kept talking about that, those weird sad puppy dog eyes. I think it's not necessarily apathy, but I think it's just, he's just so empty. You know, he's
Yes.
tired. He just came back from the dead. He doesn't want to fight anymore. He wants this to be over, and it's just like, eh, you know?
Yeah.
He cares, of course he cares for Rickon and he cares for Sansa, but in regards to his own life, I don't know that he really cares. Which is evident in the next couple, heart pounding scenes. So they're just kind of going back and forth about, whatever. He keeps calling him about you bastard, and I kept waiting for John to throw it back in his face, like, pot, meat kettle.
Exactly. I think I mentioned that too. I was like, he sure is throwing that out there really often about the whole bastard thing. And who are you to say shit?
Right. Also, how does Ramsay know how many men John has? Because he makes a point of saying, like, I have 6,000 men. You have, like, what, half? Not even? I mean, unless he had a scout out there. He did have a scout out there.
That's true. I didn't think about that until just now that you said that.
Yeah. And basically, John gives him an out and says, look, we can settle this right here and now. We don't have to have all these men die for us. It could just be you and me. And of course, he doesn't follow through because he's the chicken shit. Then he basically threatens them, like, you're going to let your brother die because you won't surrender. And Sansa basically calls his bluff and says, well, it's not a bluff, though. How do we know you have him? And of course, Takara Stark throws out the head of the dire wolf.
Killing me.
Which the thing must be disgusting at this point. It's been
Yeah,
weeks.
it must reek. Like, it must be foul by this point in time.
Right. And then Sansa grows some balls and stands up to Ramsay, which I think he kind of gives her this look like, oh, you're in so much trouble, you know? And he kind of throws it back in Snow's face that, like, I can't wait to get her back again, kind of thing. And, basically says, all right, see you tomorrow. Oh, and he throws out the fact that he hasn't fed his hounds in 7 days.
Yes,
You
that's
know,
an
and that
important
whole scene.
factor.
But Sansa isn't there for that. So later on, when we discuss that comment, unless John told her, this is a very strange thing to be like, oh, by the way, Ramsay hasn't fed his dogs in 7 days.
Was she not? I thought she was.
No,
Because
just watch it. She she's
I remember her saying, "You're gonna die tomorrow. Sleep well."
Right. And
But I
she
don't
rides
remember
off.
when they left. Oh, okay, did she leave after that
Yeah, no.
then?
She rides off right after that. And right after that, he says, my hounds are looking forward to meeting you or something like that. And I haven't fed them for 7 days.
Oh,
And I wonder
right.
what
She did.
carts they're going to, you know.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
So it's odd that she would bring that up and she wasn't there. They all separate, they go past each other. And then the conversation about the battle happens. And there's a turning point there where John and Davos are looking at each other, looking at the map. And you can even see it. They have the rocks painted with symbols on them. And you can see that literally Ramsay has like three times as many men as
Yeah.
John does. And Tormund is there, and he's like, no, we've seen what they've done with the horses and that kind of thing. And he was throwing out these military terms, and Tormund was just like looking at him with this
What?
blank face, like, what? And
He's like, what?
he basically dumbs it down, and Tormund's like, good, that's what I wanted to hear, you know?
Yep.
And of course, the conversation between Tormund and Davos was very poignant, where they're saying, do you think there's still a chance and all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of a nice way for them, like two men of the earth kind of thing, like the wildlings and the smuggler. Because even though he's a knight, Davos is really just a smuggler. They were just having
Right.
this before the battle conversation kind of thing. But what did you think about the conversation? I wouldn't even call it a conversation. It was more like a fight. And Sansa was right between her and John.
Oh, that whole thing. The whole thing was insane because you're exactly right. She was completely right. And the way he was treating it wasn't like he was belittling her because like he treats her as an equal. So it wasn't like that. But he's like, well, what you're saying is not helpful. But when you think about it is, but you're just not thinking about it on a deep enough level at this moment, you know, where she tells him, you know, don't do what he wants you to do. And he's like, well, that's obvious. But you just gotta think deeply about it. And she's totally right. Like, she makes a comment saying, did it ever occur to you that I could be the one to tell you what he's like? Which is interesting. Because nobody's ever asked her, at least that they've shown us.
And I kept kind of like yelling, not yelling at the screen, but I was just like, just freaking tell him. Just delay it because Aaron, you know, the Aaron army is coming. Know that they're coming. Well, she didn't know, but she had an idea. And I kept thinking of her, thinking when they were having this fight, because they weren't being mean to each other, but they were fighting like adults, I would say. Where she basically says to him, like, you know, you never once asked me, you know, you've met him for all of like one day. I live with him. I know what he's like. And is you're underestimating him is really what she's telling John. Like, you are not giving him the credit that he deserves because he is one nasty son of a bitch. And I can tell you that he's a nasty son of a bitch from experience. And yeah, it's obvious that you should do what he wants you to do because that would, I mean, that is pretty Captain Obvious of her. But, and he says that too, like, you think that I'm, what, I've just been twiddling my thumbs for this amount of time? Like, I don't know what you're saying. But you're not really offering any solutions. And I kept waiting for her to say, I sent a letter to Littlefinger, and there's a possibility that the army is coming. And I don't know why she didn't. Maybe she didn't on purpose because she was maybe she was afraid that Ramsay would find out just as he found out how little men John had. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I was, of course, seeing what everybody was thinking out on the social media. And this one girl explained it very well, I think, on Facebook, what she thought. So I'm going to read this to you because I have a screenshot of it, and we'll talk about that. So it was on a Facebook post from some Game of Thrones fan site. I don't remember which one it was. So this is what she has to say. I've seen people in other comment threads are pretty irked at Sansa for keeping quiet about the Knights of the Vale, calling her selfish and terrible for letting those men die. Nope, sorry, what she did was clever. You have to remember, she knows Ramsay, and none of the men leading this charge ever asked for her guidance. She knew that if they waited for the Knights of the Vale, and Jon would have waited to have better odds against losing men, that Ramsay would have never left nor ordered his army outside Winterfell. He would have been like the Blackfish, and even with the Knights of the Vale, they didn't have the numbers for a siege. She kept quiet to accomplish taking out Ramsay's entire army and doing the least amount of damage to her home, making it sustainable from future threats while they recover from their losses.
That is very good. That is a very good
Yes.
assessment.
I
Who
love
wrote
that.
that?
Her name is Annette Neal from Facebook.
Annette, you have perfectly put into words what I was trying to say, but couldn't. So thank you
Yes.
for that. That is an excellent assessment and a wonderful breakdown of the character and her motivations.
Yes, we need to track down Annette now and like thank her because
Yeah,
as
we
soon as
do.
I read that, I was like, yes, that perfectly explains everything I was thinking and like couldn't say myself.
Right. Well, not everything. She brought up some points that I didn't even think of, which was, yeah,
Yeah.
if they were all there, they wouldn't have had that advantage of pulling all of his men out and basically decimating the rest of his men
Exactly. Well, see, because
from
I had,
behind.
you know, thought about John wanting to bulk up the army, you know, and going in with all the men at once, which wouldn't have been as smart. But she brought up the Blackfish, which is something that happened very recently in the show, which I still didn't think of, that he didn't leave the castle and they wouldn't have done that otherwise if they thought all the men were out already. So it was very good that she caught on to that. Very smart. I didn't think about that at all.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And he didn't, and of course, Ramsay throws in, you know, because Sansa says, and that was another thing that I thought was very interesting from Sansa and showed real growth from her, which was like, what are we going to do about Rickon? And, you know,
Yes.
how are we going to get Rickon back? And she flat out tells him, I know, Ramsay, you're not getting him back. We're not getting him back. He's dead already. You know, like, if he's not dead now, he will be soon. Because there's no way that Ramsay is going to leave Rickon in castle in the Winterfell castle unattended, and he's a bigger threat than you as a bastard or me as a girl. And she knew it.
Yes.
She was
I
like,
love that
he's
line
not
because
coming out of this.
she clearly knows that there's somebody that has a better claim than her. So it's not like her trying to take it for herself. Like she knows that somebody else would have that higher claim over her. And I love that she just threw it out like that because it is true. Like it, and people are calling her like, you know, selfish and heartless for saying that. But I'm like, yeah, that's her brother, but she's telling the truth. That kid was as good as dead as soon as he showed up at Winterfell.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised he survived long enough.
Oh yeah.
I expected the Karstark to throw out his head and not the
You
direwolf's head.
know, I did too. That's what I was thinking because I knew for sure he was gonna die. Obviously, he's gonna die in the episode. But I thought they were gonna throw out his head instead of the direwolves. But the way that they did use him in the episode makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna have some bones to pick about that when we start discussing that,
Oh,
but
oh, oh yeah.
yeah. Some logic fails there. But
Oh yes.
she knows it's coming. My
Oh yeah.
tirade.
I was like screaming.
Was like, oh. Anyway, so yeah, she basically says, like, look, he's not coming back. And Jon's face, it's almost like she's grown up more than he has at this point in time, because he still has this look of like, what do you mean we're not going to be able to save him? And
Yeah.
she's kind of like, you are seriously underestimating him. Like, I've seen him in action. There's no way that that kid is getting out alive. And you know, she tells him, she's like, don't do what he wants. If you do what he wants, you're gonna get trapped. And that's exactly what happened. When we skip forward to the battle, is he let his emotions get the best of him.
Yes.
And even Davos said it when the final arrow shot hit and he saw Jon and he saw what he was about to do. He even says, Tormund says it, like, don't do it, you know? And he was not paying attention. And I kept yelling at the screen and I was like, don't fight angry, Jon. Don't fight angry.
Oh my God, the whole episode consisted of me just screaming. Screaming and not being able to breathe was me watching the battle.
Right? True. Now, I'm not a big battle person. I really don't like battles all that much. I have to say, this was a fantastically choreographed, super complicated battle. It was
Yes.
super impressive. And the camera work on this was fantastic. Because I read
Amazing.
an article. Yeah, I read an article. It's the same guy who did the other battle.
Which
Oh
one?
gosh. Last year's battle.
With
The White
all
Walkers?
the White Walkers? Okay, the Hardhome
I think
battle.
so, yes.
Okay.
Yes, the Hardhome battle. And he said originally he wanted to have horses and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't in the budget and, you know, time constraints and things like that. And then this year they brought the same guy back because he does such a good job with Hardhome that they brought him back to do this battle. And this time it was with horses. And he was talking about the logistics of all of that you know, the camera angles. And he mentioned, and if you notice, there's no aerial shots of the two of them coming together. like that's the typical.
Right.
They even did it in Lord of the Rings, where they had the two armies kind of the aerial shot of the two of them like marching across a large tract of land towards each other. And he specifically didn't have that aerial shot because he felt that it brought you out of the battle too much.
Right.
And it was kind of like, okay, this is going to be like Clash of Titans. So I thought that when you look at all the camera angles, it's all from eye level. It's all from almost John's point of view while
Oh,
still
yeah.
keeping him in the shot, you know?
Right. And
And I
then
thought that
that
was
part later
amazing.
on, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. Oh, we'll get there. But I have
We'll
some
get there.
stats on that too. It
Yeah.
says that there was over 86 hours of footage shot. It cost $10 million to film. There were 500 extras and 70 horses used to film the whole battle.
Yes.
Insane.
And did you know that one of the things that he said was most of that footage consisted of horses farting, peeing, and pooping in the middle of John's lines?
I didn't see that. That's hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, horses.
So, oh, horses. Yeah, because you can't control that. They just go when they
Yeah.
have to go. But he said a lot of the shooting time was drawn out. One, because horses get bored very easily. They're hard to control. They skitter. They get, testy very easily. And also, they're always pooping or shitting or pissing and farting and doing those things. And a lot of the scenes consisted of Kit talking, saying his lines, and horses like farting, audibly farting in the middle of his lines.
Oh God, that's hilarious.
So it was, yeah, it's pretty
I want
funny.
to see the like the raw cuts of that.
They have to put that, like, if they do like a game, the season box set, they should probably have outtakes of that, because I think that would be hysterical.
Yes, this is my formal request.
Yes, please put the farting in there. It's hysterical. We're like 5-year-olds. So the scene with Rickon. Okay, so Ramsay brings Rickon out, and he raises the knife up, and we're like, okay, this is it. He's just gonna slit his throat right there. And he winds up cutting the string, and he goes, "Do you want to play a game?" And I knew what was coming. I thought it was gonna be the dogs. I thought he was gonna release the dogs on Rickon, but he didn't. Instead, he basically says, "Go run to your brother, because the faster you get there, the faster you'll be safe." And then he says, "You have to run." And he pulls out the bow and arrow, and I'm like, "Oh, come on! You're gonna play this game?" And I knew it was gonna happen, And about he gets three quarters of the way there, and John is just about to get him, and an arrow right through the heart. Now, how much were you screaming at this? Because every time he did an arrow,
I was
it went farther.
zigzag, zigzag. That's what I was
Right?
screaming.
Jamie.
Oh my God.
Excuse me. Jamie is yelling at the screen, "Serpentine, Rickon, serpentine, run serpentine."
Yes, I was like, bob and weave, bob and weave.
Right? So I said, and then I was like, logic fail. That there's no way. I mean, you saw the distance between the two of them. They could barely see each other. Okay? I'm gonna call bullshit on this, because there is no way that arrow made it that far.
Yeah, that's
He would have had to have a serious compound bow in order to make that happen. And I think that's what they were trying to get at with the bow that he picked up, because it was not a normal bow. But I mean, seriously,
Still.
that is some Robin Hood bullshit right there.
That's reaching, even for Game of Thrones.
I mean, they were over a mile away from each other.
Yeah,
There's no
impossible.
way. So that was kind of like meh. But I did love the fact that it was so close. I think because it was so close and he died right at the end, that's what, I mean, Ramsay knew that was what was going to throw Don over the edge. And he fucking fell for it. He fell for it. He did exactly what Sansa told him not to do. She said, "Don't do what he wants you to do." He did that specifically to rile him up and to get him to charge headlong into battle.
Which is
And of
exactly what
course,
I was screaming at the time.
right. And everybody else, even Tormund said, "Don't do it." Davos said, "Don't do it." And but they knew it was coming. They knew that he was going to do that. And of course, he runs into it full tilt. The horse gets, pummeled with arrows, and he flies off the horse. I'm gonna also say, Jamie brought up a good point with this, but the first time the spray of arrows came down and not one of them hit him, I was like, bullshit. There's no way that out of all of the arrow sprays, he did not get hit.
Yeah,
He
there
didn't
was
have
a
a
lot
shield.
of that going
Like
on with
nothing.
him.
He wasn't even trying, you know what I mean? Like to dodge them. And I was just like, what the hell? There's no way he's surviving this. There's nobody else around him, and none of them could hit him. Meanwhile, Ramsay could hit Rickon almost a mile away.
For real.
Not that I wanted him to die, but I was just
No,
like,
no, no.
I was like, that's a little,
Yes. As much as I love this battle,
It was like, and then of course, so he finally gets up and he shakes it off, and he looks up and the charge of the cavalry coming towards him. And I love how he just takes his belt off, and he takes his belt off, he pulls out his, and he's like, "I got this." Like, what do you think is actually going to happen? Like at that
I
point in
know.
time, I think he had just given up, and he's like, "Okay, like." What do you mean, okay? There's no fear, there's nothing. There's just like, all right, I'm gonna take these guys on. Like, there's no way.
No.
And then, of course, you see that the cavalry is right behind him and they charge headlong into the other side before anything can happen to him. And there's a series of near misses with John that is just too much to be coincidence. And Jamie made the point that she's like, maybe the Ironborn are correct. That which has died can never die.
Yes.
She's like, because it's too much of a coincidence that nothing is touching this guy. Like, nothing.
Yes, and like when all
He's
the
virtually.
horses run past him and
Right.
like all the, I'm just like, what?
How many things he almost get hit with something and all of a sudden a horse would come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It was
Whole thing.
definitely divine providence that he did not get one scratch on him. Not one. Like all the blood and the mud and all that stuff, that was all from
Other
other
people.
people.
Yeah.
Nobody even got a cut. He didn't even get a cut on him. And then, of course, and then they did the span out where you see them fighting on top of this mound of bodies. And I was like, Jesus. They're just climbing on top of each other and falling down. Like,
Yes.
it had to be like 20 feet tall, this wall of bodies.
Ugh, I could barely breathe. That whole thing.
And then of course Davos is staying back because he's supposed to be the second charge. And at some point he was just like, this is just, we might as well be taking a shit back here. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? And I do like the fact that Davos told the men on his side to stand down, the archers to stand down because they're just gonna wind up killing their own men. But
Yeah.
Ramsay no shits were given. He was just flinging those arrows, and it
No,
didn't
he
matter
did not
who.
care.
Ramsay killed as many men as Jon's men did. I mean, he killed as much of his men as Jon's men did.
Yes.
Just because he was so loose with those arrows, which is not necessarily a good tactic.
No.
usually that's a tactic that's used when people are charging at you, not when they're already in full battle.
Right, exactly.
And then, of course, there's that where they basically surrounded them between the wall of dead bodies and the shields and spears, which I thought was terrifying.
Oh my God. I nearly had a heart attack. I'm not even exaggerating. Like the whole episode was so much stress for me, but when that happened, I was like, "Oh my God."
Yeah, there's no place for them to go.
No. I
And
was like suffocating.
right. And then Tormund is right in the middle of it, and Jaime's yelling at the screen, "No, not Tormund. Who's gonna make googly eyes at Brienne?" You know, like, because Jaime's out of the picture. So I was like, "No, he can't." Well, maybe he can, but no, he can't. And they just keep kind of pushing them closer and closer and closer together, and somehow or another, I don't know if somebody was trying to save John or what happened, but he wound up falling over. Like, he got tackled. And people are just running over this kid, like, wouldn't even let him get up. So he's basically being trampled. And that moment where you're like, really, this is the way he's gonna go? Trampled to death by his own men. And I was like, it's not unlike George R. R. Martin or HBO to kill off a main character, but seriously, you know. And John's conversation with Melisandre earlier before the battle, when he went to talk to her, was pretty much like, "Look, if I fall, don't bring me back again." And she's basically saying, like, "Look, I can't make any promises. You came back the first time for a reason, and I can't ignore that. So it's my duty to try again." And his questioning, well, why would he bring me back just for me to die again? That doesn't make any sense. So I'm not sure if that was part of why he was so headstrong into, like, not giving any shits, or if he was just emotional, or if he really truly was hollow, like the director had suggested that, you know, this battle was just as much about John fighting him back his way back to humanity as it was for him fighting for Winterfell. And I thought that that was a really interesting interpretation, and that the moment, the turning point when John decides that he wants to live, is when he pulls himself out of that trample pit and he pulls himself up and basically rebirths himself again. I know it's a little deep,
No, but I mean the way they shot it though even suggests that with him like emerging and the breathing that's like overlaid throughout the scene. Oh, it stressed me out.
I mean, what a
But
horrible way to go, right? Like, just being crushed
yes.
by your own men. And, you know, just the sheer amount of heat and no air down there and all that kind of stuff is just horrifying. And just as you think it's all lost, they're all surrounded, you hear the horn in the background, and I was like, yes, they
Yes.
finally came through. And then to
Oh
see
my God.
Sansa come to save the day, basically, with Littlefinger's men, or Robin's men.
Right.
And then, of course, Tormund the Giant and Jon, Sansa sees them take off and go towards Ramsay. Ramsay is still, to the very bitter end, he's just so cocky the entire time. He gets back and he's like, "Well, you know, their armies, you know, we have no army." And he's like, "Well, they have no army either, and we have a castle. You know, we can do a siege." Like, did he forget that there was a huge giant? Because he seemed surprised when the giant was breaking through the wall.
It was like he never even thought about that. I don't know.
Right?
It's weird.
Like, you saw them coming towards you. You knew it was
Yeah.
going to happen.
Like you had to have seen him. There's no way you didn't see that giant.
Right. And then, of course, John, they break through the wall. Unfortunately, the giant dies,
Oh,
which is
God.
sad.
Yes, it was
I
sad.
know. But really, and that was the other part about that was Ramsay had a perfect shot, and he took out the
Yes.
giant instead of
Someone said
John.
that. There was somebody saying that. Well, I'm sure a lot of people were saying it, but I just remember seeing a tweet like that. And they were saying, like, really? He chose to shoot the giant and not John, who was standing there completely
Right?
unshielded?
I don't get that. Also, then he starts talking cocky, like, well, you wanted a man-to-man combat, and I'd like to renew that and all that stuff. Meanwhile, John's men all have arrows pointed directly at Ramsay, and they're letting him take shots at John. Like, shoot him. What are you waiting for? But I love that John, at that point, he was just like, I have had enough of your shit, mister. And he just
Oh,
starts
yes.
like blocking these arrows.
Right.
And then he just proceeds to beat the living shit out of him.
Oh my God, it was so satisfying. And even though,
It
like,
w
logically, I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, sure, those arrows are going into that shield, and not one of them has hit him yet. But still, I was like, oh my God. Like, I love the shot,
Right?
though. Like,
Right?
visually, it was amazing.
Like, I am gonna mess you up. Like, keep it up, buddy. You're just making it work for yourself. And he starts beating the ever-living shit out of him. And he looks up and he sees Sansa, who's just standing there. She didn't tell him to stop. She didn't look horrified. Nothing. She's just standing
Nope.
there. And he stops all of a sudden. I'm like, don't stop. Finish him. It felt like Street Fighter all of a sudden. I was like, finish him. You
Yes, I
know?
thought we were gonna have like that classic like horror movie trope where like the villain like comes back really quick and you think all's
Right, I'm like,
over.
he's gonna stab you in the gut. Exactly. And then I thought, well, John stopped because he was gonna let Sansa finish the job. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
Okay. You know? but he doesn't. He just walks away. And they move on with, getting everything done. And when the
Yeah, and I'm
banners come
like,
down,
is he not gonna do it?
right?
Oh God. When the banners rolled down, I just about cried.
Right. And then, of course, Stannis found the burnt stag that he gave to
Oh yes, to Shireen.
Shireen earlier before the battle. And you see Davos looking at Melisandre. I don't know if Melisandre and Jon are linked because she brought him back to life or not or what, but I have a feeling that that is going to come into play in the next season, if
Yes.
not the next episode.
I believe it might even be the next episode, judging from the preview a little bit. Well, at least with Davos confronting something. Because he says in the preview for next week something about it.
Oh, really? I saw part of the preview. I saw the part where I was screaming at the TV. But in any case, they bring Rickon back. They're going to bury him in the crypt. And Sansa basically says, John, where's Ramsay? And I'm thinking, oh, no, he got away. You know, like, for the love of
Oh,
Christ, this man
I would
cannot get
die.
away. And then comes the most satisfying scene in all of Game of Thrones, I have to say, the most satisfying scene so far. Because we didn't get it with Joffrey. You know, Joffrey
No.
got the easy way out. And I was
Yes.
really, really disappointed in the books and also in that one of the times that I actually threw the book across the room when I was reading the books was when Joffrey died. And again, in the series, everybody was like, really? That's the way he goes? Like, how did he get off so easy? This is the excellent, excellent scene where she figures out. Now, I don't know if she told John to put him in there or if John put him in there thinking he was going to be, just contained for a while or if that worked out. I don't know if Sansa actually did that whole thing, but she definitely knew what was coming.
Yes.
So even beat to bloody hell, he's still an awful, awful prick and still talking
Yes.
shit about how, no, I'm not gonna be here long, but I will always be a part of you kind of crap that
Ugh.
he started pulling. And she was like, your words are gonna fade out. You're gonna fade out. Your family is gonna fade out. No one will even remember you.
Oh my
And
God,
then
do you understand? I was dying. Those
Right.
words were
And then
so
I
badass.
realized, right? And then I realized where he was and that the gates were open for quite a while, and I'm surprised that the dogs didn't descend upon him faster than that.
Sooner,
It was
yeah.
almost like they were waiting for something. And then the realization that where he was and who he was with. And he's saying, well, they're not going to hurt me. And her cold, stone cold, like, yeah, starve them for 7 days. These dogs are starving. They are going to eat you, and I'm going to stand here and watch it, which is basically what she did.
Yes.
And just the satisfaction. I mean, it was a totally disgusting, gruesome, horrendous scene. And I was just like, am I a bad person? Because I really am enjoying this.
Oh, I was enjoying it for sure. I was so happy throughout the whole thing. I was like, yes. I was mad when she walked away. I was like, no, stay there and keep watching it. Because I would.
But that face, when she finally turns around and she gets far enough away that she knows that he's dead at that point, and that smirk that comes across her face, and I was like, that's right. Now, Jamie has never been a fan of Sansa. She always thought she was a whiny bitch. And I mean, she has a little bit more respect for Sansa as she seems to get older, because she was listening to the broadcast last week where you had said that Sansa was always clever, and I said, well, no, she wasn't always clever. She was lucky enough to become clever. And Jamie was like, no, I totally agree with you on that one. She was not always clever. She's like, and she's still not as clever as she probably should be. But she actually said, as soon as that happened, and she turned around and smiled, she's like, I have a newfound respect for Sansa now. So I think Sansa probably finally won her over. But yeah, she's like, I have a little bit more respect for Sansa than I did before. And I love that that was the ending scene. Like, that was it. Walked away, and that was the end of it. Done.
Yes. The
Now,
best.
coming attractions for next week. One thing that I started screaming at the television for is there's a scene where Sansa is standing by the godwood, or the god tree, and Littlefinger is there, and she's like, "What do you want from me?" And he's like, "You know what I want from you." I was like, "For the love of
Oh, disgusting.
Sansa, for the love of Christ, Sansa, do not marry that shithead. I don't
I hope
care if he saved you. Like, you owe him nothing. You're even at this point. You don't owe him shit."
not.
Maybe the next words out of his mouth is, I want forgiveness. Let's hope that's it, because if he has the balls to say, I want you, I would just stab him right there.
Oh, I would jump through the television and just murder him because
Right.
no.
Right. Yeah, so, overall, out of all of the season, all of the episode nines, what do you rate this one?
Oh my God, I quite literally think that this is, if not the best, it's most definitely like top five, for sure. But I'm gonna go out and say that this is my favorite episode ever. I
Yeah,
loved it.
I don't know if it's it's my favorite episode. Because I'm not a really big battle person, but I really did like this whole episode. Mainly because it was just so satisfying that he finally got
Yes.
what he deserved.
I loved it. If not my favorite, then for sure top three, 'cause I did love even though it was painful, very painful to watch, I did love the Red Wedding because it's so iconic. But yeah, if not the best, then definitely top three for me, I'm thinking.
I have to say that I liked Hard Home last year. Was
That was a
pretty
good one.
amazing, and I would say I was just as much on the edge of my seat in that episode as I was in this one. But there wasn't that gratification within the episode of the big bad dying, other than Jon killing the White Walker. But definitely that somebody in the Game of Thrones actually got what was coming to them was just so satisfying after 6 seasons of people just getting away with shit that they shouldn't get away with. And mainly because Ramsay was just so unapologetic. He was like Joffrey on crack.
Yep.
So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that Jon is going to go back to Castle Black, or is he going to stay at Winterfell with Sansa? You think he's done?
I see no reason for him to go back to Castle Black. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
what does he have there?
Well, Bran is beyond the wall now. So he might have to go back at some point.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he said it himself. You know, his watch has ended. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and I saw a quick clip. It looks like there's a White Walker army coming. So there might be another battle next episode. Because they're saying that next episode might be just as thrilling as this episode was, if not more.
Right. I don't know. I'm excited for it, though.
Yeah.
And nervous.
And what do we think? Do we think that Arya is going to show up next episode, or is that going to be in next season?
Do you mean, is she going to be present in the episode, or is she going to show up in Winterfell next episode?
I think, is she going to show up in Winterfell?
You know, I would say no because of time, but you know what? They have just been arriving in places so quickly this season that I wouldn't put it past them.
Okay. Fair enough. It looks like Catelyn Stark is not going to make an appearance. Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, at least not this season. I don't know if they will do it, though, because I feel like it's so late for them to even try and do it if they don't do it now.
Right. Maybe that's part of the thrilling episode. Maybe she shows up.
Maybe.
I don't know. I want to see more of the Hound, though.
Oh, yes.
And where the fuck is Gendry?
Literally, where is Gendry? I need it, like, now.
Yeah, other than that. So, I mean, amazing episode. Like, so much love for this episode.
Yes.
I have to say, though, the Hodor episode is pretty close.
Yeah, that was another one for me.
This whole season was pretty good, I have to say.
I will agree with that, because I will admit there were some times last season that I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? But this season is killing it.
Yeah. So, on a separate topic, I got really aggravated today because I told you that I was going to go watch Penny Dreadful right after this.
Oh,
and I watched
boy.
The last episode of Penny, well, not the last episode of Penny Dreadful, but I watched last night's episode of Penny Dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm online and I was looking, you know, at some articles, and there's this thing about how Penny Dreadful is ending. And I was like, oh, you know, like, oh, cool, we got one more season, we can wrap up the storyline, blah, blah, blah. And then I find out in the article that no, next week is the last episode of the season, but it's also the series finale, and it's not looking good for everybody. And then in the article, the director dropped a huge bomb about the end of the episode and what's going to happen.
Boy.
So
not only did
I
find out, yet?
Well, no, the last episode is next week.
Oh, okay.
I found out today it was a good episode, but this was the second to last episode, just like with Game of Thrones, because they're running concurrent with each other. So next week's episode is supposed to be the last episode of the season, the series finale. I mean, the season finale. But I found out today that it's the series finale, and in the article, he says what happens to one of the main characters.
No, he doesn't.
And I was like,
oh,
are you kidding me? The episode hasn't even come out yet.
No, that's awful.
I was like, you suck, people. You couldn't have held that. But, yeah, not happy about that.
No.
But I love that show. And I'm not happy that it's ending. But, hey, you know, everything has a life cycle.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, I'm not going to be happy when Game of Thrones ends either.
No, I'll be sad.
You know, though, as long as they wrap it up, I mean, I've been through several series where we knew ahead of time that it was the end of the season, it was the end of the series, and I've been through some where their series finale made me want to jump through the television and throttle somebody, and then I've had some really pleasant experiences, like with Being Human, the American version of Being Human, where they actually gave it some sort of an ending that I could live with. That wasn't necessarily super happy, but definitely something that I could live with. So I'm hoping that they do that with Penny Dreadful, but I have a feeling that it's not going to be based on the information I got last night, this morning. And also,
Wow.
I hope that they will do that with Game of Thrones, because after 6 seasons, I think, and such a rabid fan base, I think people will be very, very upset if that does not happen.
Oh God, yeah, they better, or else they will have a whole lot of fans to face.
So, I mean, I know that it's a day late, but happy Father's Day to everybody. And
Yes.
what better way to have an episode from Game of Thrones than to have Battle of the Bastards, which is pretty much all about fathers, you know, having sons out of wedlock. Apparently, that's a thing. But,
Apparently, yeah.
so happy Father's Day. Also, happy summer solstice to all you heathens out there. They said that it's supposed to be a strawberry moon.
That's
It's
what I've
not
heard.
strawberry. Yeah, I'm looking at the moon right now, and it is not pink. They call it a strawberry moon because it's very rare that it happens that it's a full moon on the summer solstice. But also, it's supposed to the way that the sun hits the moon, it's supposed to have like this weird light refraction thing, and the moon's supposed to kind of look pink, but it doesn't. So I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Well, that is disappointing.
It's a beautiful moon, though.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really have anything. I'm just kind of talking out of my ass right now. So.
No, it's fine. It was pretty intense. I got a couple of tweets that I couldn't pick just
Oh,
one
good.
because they were too good. So
Yes,
I'm just gonna go
okay.
down the list. This is from Twitter user @Daenerys. Me after Game of Thrones. It's a photo of a kid feeding his dogs dog food.
Nice.
This is from @GameofThronesReacts. Who let the dogs out? And then it's a photo of Sansa sitting on the Iron Throne. Oh gosh. From Twitter user @GOT_Tyrion, the most satisfying thing I've ever seen in a long time, and it's the Stark banner falling down.
Yes.
Accurate. Twitter user @_Khaleesi, some heroes hold the door, some break them down. Hashtag Game of Thrones, and it has the giant right next to Hodor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Killed
I
me.
like that one.
Yes. And then from Twitter user @itsbben11, I'm assuming. I know I wasn't the only one screaming this. LOL. Hashtag Game of Thrones. It says, "Damn it, Rickon, zigzag."
Right?
True. So
Okay.
true.
Oh, that's
It
another point.
says
Wait, wait,
what?
wait, before we go any further, that's another point. So again, he hit Rickon with the arrow, which means that Jon Snow, who just rode up next to Rickon, is within arrow range.
Oh yeah.
Could have ended it right there.
Could have. But
Yeah.
oh,
All right.
whammy.
So yeah, continue. What were
Yes.
you saying?
And then yes, @NickDeMarco on Twitter. No spoilers, but the entirety of this season's budget was spent on tonight's episode. Hashtag Game of Thrones. Probably true.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
So many great things.
Excellent tweets. I approve of all of them. They are fantastic.
Yes, love them all.
As always, we still want to hear from you. We still hold out hope that someday you will respond to us and
Someday.
say something. We sound so pathetic. Like, please give us feedback. Like, really. Come on. Show us some love. Show us some hate. Show us something. Let us know that
Something.
we're not speaking into the void.
And emotion.
I know you're listening. I know you're listening because I see the
numbers.
I
see your view count.
So.
Yeah.
I see it. You see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You love us, you hate us, let us know. Tell us what you want to hear more about. Tell us what you don't want to hear more about. It'd be awesome if the people who knew that we were basically retweeting on air, their tweets, knew about it. So maybe we should contact those guys.
You know
and,
what? I was just thinking that. Maybe we should. Once we post the episode,
yeah.
We'll try and do that. Tag everybody that we tweeted and be like, hey, we read your tweet on air.
Yeah. You won Twitter of the Week or something like that. Something like that. We'll do that next year.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so maybe we'll try it next week. I don't know. But, yeah, keep tweeting it out. Share it as much as possible. You can contact us on thevro.com.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give them the spiel because I can never get it right?
Yeah, I'll give them the spiel. So you can hit us up at thevro.com, which is the home board for everything that you could possibly want, whether it's these podcasts, blog reviews, interviews, giveaways, all kinds of fun stuff. Social media, you can find us. What you got?
Hold on. I'm so sorry. I forgot
what?
The one thing that I actually want to say that I will have you cackling is,
oh dear,
what is up with the Walking Dead moment with Tormund?
Oh, God. Wait, which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about when he ripped the guy's throat out with his teeth.
Oh, yes! Yes, that was so Rick. Oh, my God.
Right? I was like, oh, my God, he just pulled a Rick Grimes right there.
Yes, he did. So true.
Timeless. Apparently that proves that it is timeless.
Yes. Never underestimate the power of the ripping.
But I was like, I have to tell Ramsey.
Yes, so the very, very
Rick
Grimes. Mm-hmm.
So,
love
anyway,
Walking Dead.
Sorry, I had to mention that before it went too far.
It's
that
fine.
Should have been my Twitter. That would have been my tweet.
That should have been the tweet of the week. Yes.
Yes. It's like Tormund just pulled a Rick Grimes.
Oh yes, it was great.
Anyway, right? All right.
Yes.
So you were in the middle of giving the social media information out.
Yes, for the social media, we are Variety Radio Online on Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr, I think, and we are at the VRO on Twitter. I believe that's all, but also, I believe iTunes, is that correct? And Audio Boom, we have an Audio Boom channel.
We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mike the Movie Guy usually does, what is it, good shows?
Good shows, yeah, good shows review. If you guys have good shows review, it's a free app. I think they're only on iPhone for now, but they are expanding to Android soon. If you leave a good shows review, just tag me in it, and I will see it at VRO Brancy on Good Shows, and I will read it. If you want to leave a comment for us on Instagram, on Facebook, or Twitter, Tumblr, anything really, let us know what you thought of this episode, what you're thinking is going to happen next week. If you have anything to say about what we've said, please let us know. We love it when you guys throw some feedback at us.
All right. Seems like we'll be getting together for one last time for this season.
The last hurrah.
Next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be the last hurrah.
All right.
It is time for the winter. So, poof. I mean, that's the title from the books, correct? That's the next book?
Yeah, it's supposed to be Winds of Winter.
Whew. Well, I am downright nervous for it, but we hope
mm-hmm.
you guys enjoy it. I'm sure we will. I'm sure we'll have lots of questions, lots of things to say. Thank you guys for joining us, and we will be back again next week to talk Winds of Winter. Goodbye, guys.
Bye, guys.